Good morning. Good morning. My name is Lamo. Happy Sunday. Geshe-la will be here in a few minutes, and when he arrives, if everyone would please stand out of respect for him and his teachings, you will see, if you're new to the center, you'll see people prostrating, and if you feel uncomfortable doing that, there you can just remain standing. And Geshe-la has been teaching from Peacock and the Poison Grove. Let's see, I think we're on page, he stopped on the last stanza, stanza 23 on page 69, but he's also been asking, we have been discussing what happiness is. Sometimes he quotes Shantideva, and this is the book that he uses, Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. He often quotes Shantideva. Now, when he arrives, we'll be saying prayers from this white prayer book. And there's only one prayer book, so it's very easy. And we'll be saying, we'll starting with prayers on the front of the first bay sheet. And then, since everyone is here, and especially the children, with their very pure karma, we'll be chanting mantras, and they're at the bottom of the pink page, Green Tara's Mantra and Chen Rei's 6 Mantra. And then we'll dismiss the children. As a reminder, starting, I think, with the first Sunday in April, April the 7th, we will be having 2 Sunday teachings. I think one starts at 9, and the other, 9:45, and the other one starts at 10:45. That doesn't sound right. 9:15 and 10:15. 9:15 and 10:30. Oh, 10:45. I know this very well. Okay. So anyway, there's 2 sessions. Then you can, and Geshe-la will be teaching both sessions. So you can just because, and this is because of the very overcrowding in the in this room. So, and I'm not sure when. I think the children will be involved in one or the other, and the later program. Okay. But the nursery's open for the first one. Okay, thank you. I'm very well informed today. Okay. Okay. So let's, you know, try to get our minds ready to listen to the teachings. We'll try to keep our inside voices. Thank you. White prayer book. Let's start with by reading, chanting some prayers. So we'll, at the first base sheet, We'll chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times, the Four Immeasurables in English, and then in Tibetan right below that, and you can see the music where the music notes are. Ta ya ta om ne mune maha munaye soha. Ta ya ta om ne mune maha munaye soha. Tayata om ne mune maha munaye soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam chedevadam Denpa ju chi dunya dandu nya gi yu dan de wa ju chi Dewa dami dewa juci yein jadam ni dan dewe tanyom la. So now turn to the pink page, and we'll read chant the mantras at the bottom of the sheet. Start with Chen Rezik's mantras 8 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 And then Green Tower's mantra right above that. 7 times. Om Taritu Taritu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Okay, now the children are welcome to go to their classes.
Sunday, is it on? Sunday, March the 10th, 2013, Sunday Teachings by Geshe-la.
Hello, hello. Good morning. So we'll do some meditation together, meditation, okay? So this paper, you know, there's three questions. The last one, Gishi Gelek has been teaching some basic meditation every Sunday. Why would practicing daily meditation be helpful? You know, very good questions, you know, wonderful questions. Not easy answer. very good. I think no, the question needs to be asked. I think that's very good. Meditation, you know, word meditation in Tibetan called gom. Okay, gom. So gom means, you know, if you look deeper into that word, meaning of that word, then gom become kom. Means kom is, you know, how you say, familiarization. Other hand, you know, so in the books, those books has been written. Some of those books been written like 2,500 years ago. Some of them have been written like 650 years ago. So those books, they're written by, you know, as Tibetan meditators, you know, it's like 650 years ago, some of them. So when you read those books, then you see, you know, sometimes you see like that we are not going to be content by desire. Deve ngomba minchula, so deve ngomba minchula. So it's very important, you know, so to look at that, you know, statement and maybe think through what they are trying to say, you know, what kind of message they are trying to give us, you know. So simply, you are not going to be content or satisfied by desire. Then how we can be content or satisfied? So then the next line says, Shut up. That's the Tibetan word. Shut up means wisdom. Wisdom. Okay. Shut up, jini ngombe chis. Through wisdoms, you will be content and you will be happy. So there's also something needs to be, you know, like, needs to give some, you know, some thought on those statements, okay. The way ngombe chis, shut up ngombe chis. So, then, what is wisdom? Now, question: what is wisdom? The wisdom, that's according to Buddhism, there's three different types of wisdom. Wisdom that you develop by reading, listening. You know, then you learn something. There's first type of wisdom that you generate by, you know, listening something that you don't know before. Now you know. So now, one ignorance is gone. So that, you know, that's called wisdom. You know, wisdom. Okay. So not knowing is like darkness. The wisdom is like light. Whenever you see darkness, if you switch on light, the darkness is gone. Even though the darkness remains there thousands of years, 1 second of light will eliminate, you know, the darkness that's been there like thousands of years. Could eliminate like that. No one say So the wisdom, that's the first wisdom, wisdom by, you know, reading, listening, or those wisdoms. So then second wisdom is a little bit better. It will generate by thinking what you have learned, thinking about that, you know, not just one time, again, again, the wisdom. So that's, you know, better than the first one. Then the last one, the wisdom they generated by thinking deep, or concentrations. So that's the best form of wisdom. So, so as Allah did that, there's like thousands of books that are written by, you know, the historical Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha. There's thousands. You see, this is all the books, the traditional looking Tibetan books. This is all taught, like 250 something taught by, you know, directly taught by Shakyamuni Buddha. Then 300 something is like commentary by all this, you know, Indian master. They are not, these are not Tibetan. Indian master, okay, Indian master. This is like the text and the commentary. So, so there is a, there's one, the book called, what you call, like, Guide to a Buddhist Way of Life. So that's written by one of the Indian masters. His name is Shantideva. Shantideva. Shivana. Shanti means, you know, peace. His name is Shantideva. So that book has been written, eighth century. So the name I don't remember. So no, I'm not very good in history. It's been a long time. So that book is what you call the root of the all the mind training text. You know, so that book is commonly used till now, widely used, that book. And chapter number 9, and the beginning of the chapter number 9, there's 10 chapters in the books, 10 chapters. And chapter number 6, you know, if you are having problem with anger, you know, so this chapter number 6 is quite long. But this is all about how to manage anger, and how to develop patience. If you read, you'll find something important, you know, message there, okay? So that's chapter number 6, and that's where His Holiness learned how to develop, you know, compassion, and how to be patient with, you know, the government that, you know, took your countries, and you, you know, destroyed everything that you have. So this is all the mind training text is coming from there. So I just want to introduce you. So in the beginning of the then chapter number 9, what are you going to see? It sees, you see that Yangla Dida Tamjane Tube Sharam Tendusu means whatever has been said in those books is all about wisdom. For wisdom, you know. That's very important because Shantideva, his Indian master, and it's been said many, many centuries ago, way before we were born. Way before our parents were born, way before our grandparents were born, the books have been taught. So I think it's quite important, you know. It's not because, you know, they want to convert people into Buddhism. They want to make both. It's simply they taught all these books to us to develop wisdoms, you know. All this has been taught for wisdom, to develop wisdom. That's it, nothing more. That's it. Teach, therefore, if someone out there wanting to overcome from sufferings, develop wisdom, that's what it says, no? Teach, dungal means dungal, the suffering. Therefore, no, if you want to overcome from suffering, what you need to do? Simply develop wisdom. So now, looking those statements, what we learn, wisdom is that, you know, wisdom only generated by knowledge. So we need to learn. Okay. So that's why here meditation, you know, meditate in order to meditate. So we need to learn how to meditate, and we also need to learn like importance of meditation. So now, according to these questions, it's very good questions. And also, you know, according to all these books being taught, for there, so much study has been done. So many studies have been done in the past. So much studies has been, you know, doing in the present. Probably so many studies going to do in the futures about happiness. Okay, about happiness. Oh. So now, I'm simply here repeating, you know, what has been said. You know, I have nothing new to say. I'm just here simply repeating. Oh. So So according to their analysis, you know, about happiness and the calm mind, peaceful mind, if you believe the calm mind is happiness, peaceful mind is happiness, and according to ancient teachings, what they said, you know, the concentration will produce peace mind, concentrations. There's something that you can do, I can do, we all can do, concentration, you know. So, and this, you know, and also, how are you doing? Are you boring? Okay, so make sure that, you know, so this is very important. It's very important, according to those ancient Buddhist thought, you know, according to their analysis, their studies, you know, their research, it's very important to meditate on a daily basis. Meditate. So now the question is, how are we going to meditate? Say, concentrations. Nothing to do with becoming Buddhist or becoming religious. It's nothing to do with it. Simply, I am interested to have calm mind, you know, calm mind. That's all. So then, that's why you concentrate, okay? So then I really, you know, my hope is I really want, you know, you to learn. If you are interested in meditations, then I think, you know, you must learn. You must learn, okay? So me doing meditation probably doesn't benefit you. I don't think there's very little benefit. So anyway, I think that's good news because I don't meditate. So most of the time I like sleep. So anyway, so first meditation that we are going to do, so I've been, you know, leading this and very much hoping that you will learn, you know, you will learn. Okay, so here you come to the center Sunday, then you look, you know, how I guide the meditation, then you go out of the center, then you kind of forget. So that's, I think, you know, the wisdom is the key, the wisdom is the key. Know that wisdom is the key to overcome from suffering, okay, wisdom. So that's why I think it's important to learn, okay? So first one is called 9-round breathing meditation, okay? 9-round breathing meditation. Lungro Guchuk cells, or 9-round breathing meditations to eliminate, the purpose of this meditation is to eliminate the wasteful energy that's been stuck. So when I say channel, just think about your body, you know, just somewhere here. So I can't really pinpoint the channels, you know, there are like many channels, you know? I can't really pinpoint. You just simply think there's something that's stuck inside your body, okay? That's probably the best way to say it. So this 9-round breathing meditation is to get rid of that. Why we need to get rid of that? If we don't get rid of that, you know, sometimes this causes physical discomfort. So that contributes to mental discomfort. You know, so mental discomfort, that's another way to say it, but actually it is suffering, mental suffering, you know, mental suffering. You know. Okay. So this technique, I'm hoping that you will learn, and I'm also hoping that you will share, and, you know, then I'm hoping it will benefit, you know, people, you know, who do this meditation will benefit. You know, it should benefit, you know, if you do this meditation on a daily basis. So this is simple, very simple to learn. Doesn't require any prayer to say. You just sit and just do that meditation. It's very simple, okay? And it has history. It's been taught long time ago. It's been tested. Generation by generation, it's been tested, produced good results. So that's the kind of instruction we follow if we want to do some productive meditations, you know? So if you want to do chicken meditation, then I think we don't need to learn anything. You know, you just sit like chickens. That's all. You know. If you want to do something productive, then I think it's good to learn. Okay, it requires wisdom. So this 9-round breathing meditation, I've been telling this, explaining this, you know, many years, many months. So I do understand. It will probably take time to learn. So. But I don't mind to repeat this again and again. My goal is to do that, very much hoping that you learn, okay? That you learn. No? So what we do, we sit comfortably like this. So then, you know, the meditation cushion should be like a little bit like this, you know, like this. You know, when you sit, when you're sitting at home, make sure the cushion is a little bit like this. You know, back is a little bit higher than front. You know? So that's what you call meditation cushion. Actually, it's called the cushion of concentrations. Something in there. Cushion of, you know, seat of concentration or cushion of concentrations. That's exactly what it says in the text. Or something in there. Or means like a little bit like this. Okay. So then you have another like kind of like chair. Sometimes you put your knees. I'm not sure. Kind of funny looking chair. So there's some chair. Not here. We don't have here. You put your knees and the chair is like kind of like goes like this. Okay. So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, what do you call?
It's an ergonomic chair.
Well, so I'm not sure about that. So anyway, so I did try to sit there. One almost I kind of don't know how to sit there. And I just almost fall. But once we learn to sit there, it's quite comfortable too. Also, So here we sit like it's important to make sure that your back is straight. Okay, straight. No? Mm-hmm. So what we do, 9 round meditations. So first you use your left hand, block your left nostril, long, slow, you know, inhale. Then, we do 3 times, okay? That's one set. So now please, your right hand and below your right nostril. So then inhale, long, slow. So there's second set, that's 3, the second set. So now, from both nostrils, not from mouth, both nostrils, inhale, exhale, long, slow. So that's called 9 round breathing meditation. So maybe one more time to make sure that you understand. First, you use left hand. And you can share this with, you know, if your kid is having some problem, you can also teach them how to do it. You know? Then you don't use any prayer. You just help them to teach. You know? So we'll do one more time. Long, slow, okay? That's the second round, not the third round. that's called nine round Vidhi meditations. Okay. So, as a, you know, so you see body, spirit, body, mind, spirit. That thing. We need to learn how to pay attention to our mind. We need to learn how to pay attention to our body. We need to learn how to pay attention to our spirit, you know. So we don't pay attention. That's true, we don't pay attention. So, so like ancient time, they count how much we breathe, how breathe. Used to remember the numbers, I couldn't remember now. Twenty-one thousand times we breathe in and out. Believe or not. So, did you count? Probably not. No.
I didn't count, actually.
Really? All day long? Oh. So this is all about paying attention. No, we don't pay attention. Sorry to say, but you know, that's the truth. We don't pay attention, you know. So there, through there, now modern day, what you call research, study, whatever you call. At that time, you know, they don't call research or study. You know, so they just simply, I think, they did call for study, they didn't call research. Anyway, so they found out we breathe in and out 21,000 times. We breathe in and out. So now, when we do breathing meditation, we know we breathe in and out 9 times, right? And throughout the day, we don't know how much time we breathe in and out. So now, if you pay attention, that's like, you know, breath. Breath, it is physical. It's not mind. It's not spirit. It's physical. So the paying attention to breath, it means paying attention to your body. Oh, okay? So they did count 21,000 times we breathe in and out. So they did a lot of research on that, okay? Study on that. So anyway, so now, then this is now 9 round breathing meditations. It's to get rid of, you know, the negative energy from your body. That's all. No? So let's just set aside the channels, all these things. So it's quite kind of complicated. So anyway, just getting rid of. So now, the body has to be straight, you know, because this is like about energy that flowing into the channels. So if body is straight, liutrona, satong. If the body is straight, the channels are going to be straight. If the channels are straight, the energy will run through smoothly. That's why, you know, you don't sit like this. You know, that's not the best way to do meditations. So you sit like this, okay. Now the second one, okay, second one is to are your ears burned down? How you say? Burn out? Burn? Burning. No, that if some people say some same thing again and again and again, what do you say? Huh? Yeah, burned out. Burned out. Okay, I hope that you are not burned out by this meditation I've been teaching you. So simply I want you to learn, you know, something simple. I can't talk about a very complicated one. Probably we end up doing that not, you know, no completely, you know, like perfectly. So that there's not much, you know, benefit. So this is very simple, that something that you can learn. You know, generally speaking, people in America, you know, very smart. His Holiness said everybody educated, you know, can read and write, you know, like that. Some part of the world, majority of the people, they can read and write, you know, they are not educated. So anyway, so now that this second meditation, I'm going to do this 3 meditations today, okay, 3 meditations, then I will repeat. Maybe next Sunday, last one first, second one, the first one last. So this one is called 21 breathing meditations. 21 breathing meditations. So this is also, so the first one, 9 round breathing meditation, purpose of this meditation is to get rid of imbalanced energy, okay? That's it. just to get rid of imbalanced energy. So now this second one is to, if your mind is in some, if your mind is, how you say, negative. But you know, in, then through negative state of mind is very, very difficult to develop positive mind. It's very difficult. So therefore, first you, what do? First you turn your mind into neutral state. So this 21 breathing meditation will help. That's the purpose, okay? This is very important when you explain to someone, make sure you explain like that. So then we are, at least we are passing the instructions that's been set many years, like many generations, at least we are passing instructions, you know, like as a, at least we are, you know, passing down that instruction which has, you know, histories. Okay, so that's also, that it just itself has benefit. Okay, just passing down the purity. Not like, oh, that's what I think. No, it's not about how you think. It's about, you know, so that is not good. Oh, that's what I thought. Maybe no, first you breathe from right nostril. No, when you look, it doesn't matter. But, you know, instructions are not like that. First you do with the left nostril, you know. So then otherwise, you know, then that's how this teaching get polluted. Somebody, oh, that's what I think. Then some people say, oh, that's how I think. Then finally, this all get mixed up. Then really become like, you know, pasta, Italian pasta, all mixed, tomato and everything mixed, you know. So it's very important to separate, you know, this is tomato, this is onion, this is, you know, pasta, you know, make sure people don't get confused. Make sure that nobody thinks that tomato is a pasta, you know, down the road, you know. So this 21 breathing meditation, what we do? We begin with exhale. So then we begin, then inhale. Then each time when you inhale, then you count one, okay? You count one. This also will help you to develop concentration, okay? From nose. We'll do it 21 times. So make sure that you don't screw up the number. Okay, don't know. Did I say screw up? I don't know how to say other way. I don't know how to say other way. Is there any other way to say? Mistake. There's a mistake. Oh, that's good. Mistake. Or make sure we don't make mistake. You know, we don't make mistake in the counting. So you count each time when you inhale, you count, okay? You don't count when you exhale, you don't count. Probably that's how you get screwed up. So we only count when you inhale, okay? Inhale, then you count. One, two, and you are just counting here. You are not using your hand, mala, anything. You're just counting here, okay? So we'll begin. So now this, how is it? Good? Yeah, okay. Now one more meditation, then let's read some questions, okay? So now this third one, first I want to know the difference between anxiety and excitement. Excitement is good. All the excitement is good. All the excitement. So. So this both looks like not good for the calm mind, peaceful mind, calm mind, anxiety, excitement. So.
Anxiety is good excitement.
Mindless breath. Anxiety is mindless breath.
Minus.
Without the breath.
I said mindless breath.
Minus.
Less.
Without.
Not mindless. Minus. Less.
Minus.
Yeah. Like the opposite of addition.
So anxiety is minus a breath.
Anxiety is excitement without breath.
Excitement. Excitement without breath.
Mm-hmm.
Breath.
So,
that is very important to really understand. So certain things we talk about, but we really know that all this stuff has been done. When you ask wisdom, what is wisdom? They have definitions. How you define wisdom. So, similar here, I'm very much hoping, guilt, anxiety, depressions. How you define that? How you define? So maybe there's something we can learn. No, so now that's very interesting. Anxiety is.
It's excitement without breathing.
See, excitement without breathing. Excitement without breathing.
It's like the outcome of a feeling.
Yeah, so that's that's very new to me. So I'm also learning something new.
Because of a concern, worry.
Yeah. That's why in the monastery, probably some of you all probably saw in the video or monks we debate, right? Debate. It looks like we are practicing kung fu, but actually we are not practicing kung fu, That's what local people, they come to see the monastery, or they want us to teach them Kung Fu. So they say, we don't know Kung Fu. No, you are doing Kung Fu every evening, 6 o'clock. So that's debate, it's not really Kung Fu. Because when we do, we very active, physically very active, so we go like this. If you make mistake, then we go, that means, that now you make mistake. So then sometimes they go like, there was the, sometimes they go like, just demonstrate. They go on your head. That means you are now completely confused. not just confused, really confused. No? So that's why we say quality. So then, but you don't admit that you are not confused. So basically, the person saying your head is now spinning. So this looks like it's like when you look from the outside, looks like some kind of Kung Fu, but it's not really Kung Fu. So that's why we debate, Somebody say, that's how I define anxiety. Maybe somebody say, that's how I think anxiety. So then you debate. Then finally, there will be, the point that everybody now, the majority, not every single person, but majority of the people, they kind of agree, that's how you define anxiety. So not just that, so then there has to be back up from the teachings, that they have to back up from teachings. Otherwise, anybody can say anything, So then I think that's good, that's very good. So anyway, so this meditation, if we really know has a difference between anxiety and excitement. Excitement. So this actually, this meditation is to, you know, to, how is it, to control excitement mind. So I'm not 100% saying this will also help you to, you know, reduce anxiety, but, you know, we need to talk about, you know, how to define anxiety. So anyway, this, you know, believe or not, even just breathing in and out also, you know, distract our thoughts. Our thoughts get distract, even just, you know, breathing in and out. You know, sometimes when you really, when it comes down to a deep level of concentration, also even the breathing also become distractions for the thought. So anyway, in these meditations, it's particularly so designed to control, you know, like the excitement. So what we do, so this forcefully, okay, not gently, forcefully. Then from the nose, first let me really explain. We'll do this 10 times. Then at the end, so at the end, we all just do this together. At the end, you know, each time, same, the counting is same. Each time when you inhale from the nose, we count. That's one. That's one. That's two, you know. So then at the end, everybody, all of us will hold our breath. Then just imagine. Imagine that, you know, how I say, in the text it says, no, I say, yeah, that's how they translate energy. So I think that's we call nubas. I'm not really sure how to translate, better translation. This is for energy. So anyway, that right in this case, you know, breathing, the breath that's going in is size of marble, white. That's what you're thinking, you know. Now you are not breathing, you are holding your breath. It goes down. Four finger below your navel. That's what you're thinking now. That's all we are thinking. The minute you kind of like realize it's all reach, the minute it reach four finger below your navel, then you close the lower door, and the energy that comes up is yellow, same size. Size, you know, this doesn't matter. So maybe you can make big or small, doesn't matter. So then this comes up. So now what you have white energy round sitting there, the yellow energy coming up. They sit like this, okay, this. So that's where you concentrate. Then if you cannot hold your breath longer, then you just see, it's supposed to help your excitement mind, supposed to reduce your excitement mind. Oh, so that's what it's for, okay, that's meditation. So one time somebody came to my house and, you know, was telling me, okay, there's a lot of anxiety. So then I asked him to do meditation. We did this meditation together a couple of times, you know, not just one round. You can count 10, 12, 21. We did this number of times together. We did this a couple of times. After that, he said, I feel good. And that's benefit, you know. So we didn't say any prayer. We just did that a couple of times. And I helped him to lead the meditation. We did it together. Then after that, he said, oh, Gisela, I feel great. Maybe, you know, something went out. So it's hard to say, you know. So, okay, so we'll do this 10 times. At the end, we'll count each time when we inhale, we count one. So when we reach the number 10, we all hold our breath. If you hear somebody's breathing, so then you screw up, so then we have to do it again. So, okay, we'll start. This has to be, you know, forceful, okay? 10 or 9? Try one more time. One more time. If it's not success, then we'll do it at home, okay? This is about meditation. So please try at home. You can definitely share it, you know, with your kids. You know, if your kids have some, you know, problem with the, you know, excitement mind, you can, you know, teach them how to do. It will definitely help to make your mind calm, okay?
The questions that you have there, we are having a session after the teachings where the center will remain open and we'll give everyone the green sheet of paper and help them start to continue to discuss your teachings.
Okay. So the last two Sundays, it's two Sundays now, it's two, it's the second, since we are talking about happiness. These thoughts comes into my mind, you know, so that as a monk, you know, I say prayer every day, you know, I say prayers, different prayers every day. So then one prayer, it says, you know, the prayer is simply wish, right? Simply is good wish for yourself, you know, for other living beings. So in, then one prayer says, you know, how the Father means there was chotomness. Father. Fa. You can say special being. No. Or deva in Sanskrit word. Fa. Fatang. This fa means, you know, fa means special. Celestial beings. Make sense? Oh. Celestial beings. Okay, celestial beings. Oh. I have no clue. Oh. But, you know, I think they exist, but, you know, never met one. So then, Satan, me, human. So that has a lot of clue, because you meet human beings all the time, and you are also human beings, you know. Satan, me is, Satan means, Deva, happiness. Happiness of celestial beings, happiness of human beings. Deva, chok, best happiness, best form of happiness. Father means there was chotomness. Chotomness, you are saying that may I obtain the best of human happiness, celestial happiness. So then I'm now, that's how, you know, I begin to think about, you know, Father means there was chotomness. In order to wish that, so first you have to understand what is human happiness. What is human happiness? So that's why, you know, this last two Sunday, you know, is. It's all over, you know, like discuss, you know, there's some people, you know, say something. So day to day life, you know, happiness, luji dewa means, you know, physical happiness, simki dewa, mental happiness. So there's only two categories. So now physical happiness, okay. I'm going to say a little bit about that. we call happiness. I'm not sure. So then, other hand, you see there's no contaminated happiness and uncontaminated happiness. There's two things you see. So now they explain what is contaminated happiness, what is uncontaminated happiness. So now when it's coming down to a physical level, so whether you call no or not happiness, I'm not sure. So that's why discussion is being needed. Your wisdom is being needed, okay, to discuss this. So when we experience physical happiness, there can be, you know, like, if you walk in your house, if you walk around, then, you know, say, one hour, going back and forth, maybe doing some mantra or maybe doing something or something. Then you get tired. Then when you sit, it feels great. Right? Is that happiness? Is that physical happiness? When the weather is cold, you know, when you take hot shower, it feels good. Is that physical happiness? So then, when you sit, then you sit here, kind of. On top of that, you have, you know, a very delicious cup of tea that makes more happy. So I said that, you know. And you kind of relief from, from tired of walking. Some form of, you know, kind of like difficulties lifted. Because of that, you feel now great. If you sit a long time, then what happened? If you sit a long time, then then it's not now that comfortable. Then you feel it's almost gone. Now it's not. You know, then you feel like you move up. You know. So that's, you know, like. Probably there's also many different ways to, you know, like discover through your experience physical happiness. So, is that contaminated happiness or uncontaminated happiness? The happiness or pleasure, I'm not sure. We just experience, you know, just experience. Or like say, the sweet, you know, the sweet? Sweet. If you're eating all the time, the taste of the sweet, you know, you become so used to. If you stop eating sweet, like say a couple of months, when you experience some little bit sweet, it's really sweet. It's really sweet. But the taste is the same. It's not different, but the taste. So there's to experiment like that. So now mental happiness is much more complicated. This is more complicated. Huh? So now. What is the cause of physical happiness? What is the cause? There has to have cause. In this case, it seems like rest. Rest is the cause of this, you know, temporary physical happiness. Rest from walking. Walking, this looks like the cause of this temporary physical happiness. So now, what is the cause of mental happiness? So that's what we need to discuss. You know, we need to understand, you know, what kind of thing cause your mind to be happier. Happiness in the mind. So, cause of happiness. According to Buddhism, you know, what we call merit. Merit means good deed. Good verbal deed, good mental deed, good physical deeds. So, that comes down now, compassion, loving kindness. When it comes down to mind, compassion, loving kindness. This all, you know, actually itself, compassion itself, believe or not, love itself, kindness itself, believe or not, it is happiness, mental happiness. So then, when they meditate on compassion, the study shows, you know, that people have experienced more happiness. Why? Because the compassion itself is happiness. So much discussion has been needed. Okay, so much has been needed like that. So that's now to find what is the cause of, you know, physical happiness. It feels like something lifted temporarily, then, you know, when you carry the backpack, when you're carrying backpack, you know, right from the beginning, pain is already there, but you are not experiencing heaviness. Yeah, no, so then, you know, especially when you go to Himalaya Mountain, in the beginning, you just get out of the airplane, get so excited, you know, like, that, you know, you're ready to go, you know. So then after 1, 4 hours, 3 hours, you know, then, you know, then said, you know, it's already there, but it's not obvious. So anyway, just, you know, destroying this idea, you know, so many, I think, discussions we needed. How do you define physical happiness? How do you define mental happiness? So now, when it comes, as I said, mental happiness is much more complicated. So when it comes down on that, so then, you know, meditation on compassion, loving kindness, is all needed. So that's why, that's the reason why we should learn how to develop compassion, how to develop loving kindness, and you know, care, you know, also so on and so forth, okay? Oh, yeah. So then I would very much like to hear, Sarah, after the discussions, what people have been said, you know, so I really, you know, this, for me, this is also, you know, like knowledge, you know, for education. So I want to hear what you think about happiness, you know. The happiness that I know, you know, very much based on Buddhist teachings, you know, that's what I learned, how to, like, you know, contemplate, uncontaminate, all this, you know, happiness, the meditation, everything that I learned based on knowledge, you know. I want to hear from your side, you know, so then maybe we can discuss, maybe we can come, we'll find some easy solutions, hope. So then I promise the people who put this question here, and, you know, to read this question last Sunday, what do you think about mankind's role in the universe? What do you think about mankind's role in the universe? As a Buddhist monk, not the best one, probably, you know, the bottom one. I believe, according to my teachers, according to my knowledge, that the role, each one of us, you know, role, generally speaking, role, you know, to contribute to the universe, to contribute. So make sure that we don't come here to destroy the universe. The length of time that's given to us, you know, like 100 years. So make sure that somehow that you contributed something to the community. So then, you know, best way to say goodbye, to do some contributions. That's what I believe, okay? What do you think mankind's role in the universe? I believe, you know, to some level, you know, to contribute, you know, contribute, okay? Then what is the difference between anger and what is that? W-R? What's
wrath? Like
Yamantaka
is a wrathful
deity. Wrath, okay. So trouble. Different between wrath and violence?
Anger.
No. I'm asking, what's the difference between wrath and violence?
Violence?
Hmm.
You can be wrathful without being violent. Violence assumes that there is...
So wrath... Because I'm not sure how to say it, like... I'm thinking Tibetan, how to say, you know, the rat, how to, tabo. Yeah, it sounds like, we say tabo, that's like violence. Rat. Yeah, that's probably the word, tabo, that's like, you know, now it's, sometimes you see somebody physically wrathful, but externally wrathful, but internally, you know, can be peaceful. Say, you know, when parents, you know, raising the kids, you know, sometimes you have to manifest in a wrathful form. Doesn't mean, you know, you have anger, but, you know, deep down you have compassion that you want your kids to do good. In certain cases, you have to manifest, you know, wrathful form, you know. So I say, like, in order to make beautiful gold vessel. If you have a piece of gold, you have to make beautiful vessels. You know, sometimes you have to polish, sometimes you have to hammer. If you polish all the time, you can't make beautiful vessels. No, you have to use all kind of tools. Then the dead case, you know, the sayings like dead case, like sometimes, you know, teachers say, you know, they manifest in very wrathful form, but deep down they don't hold any ill feel towards you. They simply want you to be good. No, that's so. Then, you know, that like in the physical expressions, there are different. Anger is mind, wrathful. I think in my knowledge is not necessarily mind, you know, it can be physical expressions. You know? So then when it comes down mind, I'm not sure different between anger and wrathful, okay? So then second one, may we defend ourselves when we are attacked physically? Yeah, so then I think that of course, yeah, question is yes. Okay. So with that, you know, so I'll, you know, finish this class, and also I will request some of your time today. You know, it's March 10 is called Tibetan Uprising Day. So throughout in India, you know, all over the world now today, you know, Tibetan people, they are coming out to express their, I say, discontentment, talking about contentment. So expressing their discontentment about the situation inside Tibet, our brothers and sisters back in Tibet. So it began since 1959. It began since 1959. So we did receive, you know, from your government, you know, many files I can remember when I was 7 years old back in monastery. I remember eating your, how you say, foreign aid, oil, the wheat, the big bag with American flag, the oil, there's a small tin with American flag. So I ate a lot of them. So that's one way I grew up in monastery, because there's not much food. So that's our source of nutrition when I was 7 years old back in the monastery. So, Tibetan refugee, so we received a lot of, you know, benefit, a lot of help, support from your government. Not just government, you know, the peoples, you know, also of America, individual level, organization levels. So now, you know, almost every university in this country has SFT, Student for Free Tibet. So there's a lot of, you know, like I say, raise the awareness, you know, what's happening back in Tibet. So we don't hold evil thought towards Chinese people. We don't, you know, and we try all our best. It's not easy, but we try all our best not to, you know, hold any negative thought towards Chinese. So you know, today is March 10th, so it's begin 1959. That's we completely, you know, like become exiled from our homeland, Tibet. So that they completely occupied Tibet. So then, you know, since now almost like close to 60 years, we have been exiled in India. So now Tibetan, you know, people are all over the world. So, and recently, unfortunately, very, very unfortunately, last couple of years, you know, so where they express their discontentment is to, you know, to burning their body, you know, body, to try to send the message. And so then today, you know, this every Tibetan throughout the world, you know, showing like their has a solidarity to those who give up their life for Tibetan cause, and also, you know, to raise awareness for the Tibetan issues, okay? So I'm requesting a couple of your, maybe a few minutes of your time. So maybe somebody will read this every 10 March, you know, that our exile government released this statement about, you know, Tibet. So my pronunciation is not that good, so I will ask somebody to read. So it is important to, in free world, in the country, country there where people they enjoy full freedoms. No, they have full freedom to say whatever what they want to say, express their thought. So then so there I think this peace-loving people, peace-loving people trying to solve these problems, and like with this very powerful nations with peaceful solutions, that needs a lot of support. Otherwise, the dangers, it may die, the peaceful approach, that needs a lot of awareness or support. So, we all Tibetan people, great grateful for your countries, for all the people of America, the support that you've given in the past. So we are still hoping that you will continuously support Tibetan cause, and also pray for peaceful solution between China. Okay. So maybe I'm going to read this. This is a statement. Every year they release these statements. So then after that, if you please don't mind, because this is all about raising awareness about Tibet. So and after the class, we'd like every organization now this day throughout the country, they are showing some of their solidarities. So if you don't mind, I would like you to invite outside, maybe take one photo. So then maybe through the media probably send some. They show them that we also care about that your sacrifice. That that's the body, the life is so precious. That's the only thing that you have, you sacrifice for that. Of course, then we are aware, something like that, okay? If you don't mind.
The statement of Sichong Dr. Losam Sangye on the 54th anniversary of the Tibetan National Uprising Day. On this day in 1959, thousands of Tibetans from all walks of life in all three regions of Tibet, Utsang, Kham, and Amdo, converged in Lhasa to resist and protest the Chinese invasion and occupation of Tibet. We are the children of this tragic yet historic moment in Tibet's rich, unique 2,000-plus-year history. Today we are gathered here to rededicate ourselves to the brave struggle started by the selfless elder generation. We pay tribute to all those who have sacrificed their lives for Tibet. The yearning for freedom that moved our elders to undertake the epochal events of March 10, 1959, is a beacon that guides our present-day struggle to secure our basic freedom, dignity, and identity. The continuing vicious cycle of repression and resentment in Tibet is manifested in the devastating number of Tibetans setting themselves on fire. Since 2009, 107 Tibetans have self-immolated, including 28 in November 2012, just before and during the 18th Party Congress of the Chinese Communist Party. Sadly, 9 of them have died. Such a high toll is perhaps unprecedented in recent world history. Though many of the self-immolators are monks, their ranks include the full spectrum of Tibetans, nomads, farmers, and students from all three Tibetan regions of Utsang, Kham, and Amdo, including the capital city of Lhasa. We dedicate this day to all the self-immolators and those who have died for Tibet. The occupation and repression in Tibet by the government of the People's Republic of China are the primary conditions driving Tibetans to self-immolation. Tibetans witness and experience China's constant assault on Tibetan Buddhist civilization, their very identity and dignity. They deeply resent China's demonization of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. They look on with alarm as Chinese settlers stream into Tibet, taking away Tibetan jobs, land, and their future, and in the process transforming Tibetan towns and cities into Chinatowns. They oppose the forced removal of hundreds of thousands of nomads from the grasslands to permanent ghettos, reducing formerly self-sufficient families to impoverishment. They see colonial-like development activities cart away billions of dollars worth of Tibetan natural resources to a resource-hungry China. These policies could easily lead one to suspect that China wants Tibet, but not the Tibetan people. Yet when Tibetans respond to these violations with even the slightest show of dissent, they risk prolonged imprisonment, torture, public humiliation, and disappearance at the hands of security forces. The prohibition of peaceful protest and harsh punishments compel Tibetans to resort to self-immolation. They choose death rather than silence and submission to the Chinese authorities. Recent attempts by the authorities to criminalize self-immolators and persecute their family members and friends through sham trials are likely to prolong the cycle of self-immolation, persecution, and more immolation. Through various media, the Kashag has consistently appealed and categorically discouraged Tibetans in Tibet from self-immolating as a form of protest. Life is precious, and as human beings, we do not want anyone to die in such a manner. As Buddhists, we pray for the soul of the deceased. As Tibetans, it is our sacred duty to support the aspirations of Tibetans in Tibet. The return of His Holiness the Great 14th Dalai Lama to Tibet, freedom for the Tibetan people, and unity among Tibetans. The only way to end this brutal and grave situation is for China to change its current hardline Tibet policy by respecting the aspirations of the Tibetan people. The Kashag is fully committed to the middle way approach, which seeks genuine autonomy for Tibetans to solve the issue of Tibet. His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, has shown this to be the most viable and enduring approach. After careful deliberations, the Tibetan Parliament in exile unanimously adopted the middle way approach. It is supported by Tibetans inside and outside Tibet and has garnered the support of key foreign governments, world leaders, and Nobel laureates. It has, in particular, resonated and supported by a growing number of Chinese intellectuals, scholars, and writers. At this time, the Kashag hopes that the new Chinese leadership will view this pragmatic political approach, which bridges both Tibetan and Chinese interests, as a win-win solution. In 2002, the resumption of dialogue gave hope to Tibetans for a peaceful resolution of the issue of Tibet. Unfortunately, this hope has been shaken by the present stalemate in the dialogue process. Tibet is not a constitutional or an institutional problem for the government of the People's Republic of China. As per Article 31 of the People's Republic of China Constitution, China has created a separate institutional mechanism of one country, two systems for Hong Kong and Macau. The Chinese leadership has also displayed the political will by forming a cabinet-level committee to deal with Taiwan, Republic of China. However, when it comes to Tibet, the Chinese leadership has neither employed the available constitutional mechanism at its disposal, nor has it shown the political will to resolve the issue peacefully. From our side, we consider substance primary and process secondary, and are ready to engage in meaningful dialogue anywhere, at any time. Finding a just and lasting solution to the issue of Tibet is also in the interest of the world at large. Tibet, one of the oldest civilizations, is viewed as a third pole as its glaciers feed the 10 river systems of Asia. It will contribute to the peace and prosperity of over a billion people in Asia who live downstream and depend on Tibet's water for sustenance. A speedy resolution will send the right message and serve as a model for other freedom struggles, as the Tibetan struggle is one firmly anchored in nonviolence and democracy. Last but not the least, solving the issue of Tibet could be a catalyst for moderation of China. We extend our deepest gratitude to the great people and government of India. We are also immensely grateful to all governments, international organizations, Tibet support groups, and individual supporters across the globe for their supportive resolutions, statements, and for their unflinching and generous support. At the same time, we believe that the moment has come for governments and the international community to take concrete actions to press the Chinese government to enter into meaningful dialogue with the Tibetan leadership. We call on the international community to press the Chinese government to allow the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights entry into Tibet and also to give access to diplomats and the international media. Only in this way can the truth about the grave situation in Tibet be unveiled and the self-immolations abated. The Khashoggi has announced 2013 as a year of solidarity with Tibet campaign. Each of our numerous events are organized peacefully, legally, and with dignity. Thousands of Tibetans and Indian friends gathered in New Delhi on January 30th for a four-day mass campaign organized by the Central Tibetan Administration. Many prominent Indian leaders representing various parties attended and pledged action for Tibet. Tibetans and friends in Europe today are holding the European Solidarity Rally for Tibetans in Brussels. This month, Tibetans in North America, Europe, and elsewhere are organizing Tibet Lobby Days. The core message we request everyone to communicate are the three Ds: devolution, democracy, and dialogue. The character of our people is being shaped by our endurance of the darkest period in Tibet's history. Under the enlightened leadership of His Holiness the Great 14th Dalai Lama, we continue to meet adversity with exceptional unity, resilience, and dignity. I fervently pray for the long life of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. The Khashoggi is uplifted and deeply grateful, gratified by the support and solidarity it has received from Tibetans inside and outside Tibet. With unity, self-reliance, and innovation as the guiding principles, we are determined to fulfill the aspirations of all Tibetans to enjoy the freedom and dignity which we deserve and is our right. Let me conclude by again paying homage to our brothers and sisters in Tibet, March 10, 2013, Dharam Sala.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, so if you turn to the pink page and the white prayer book. Do we have time for this? We'll start with the dedication verses from Master Shantideva's Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sound. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the soul land teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the subdued moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjunath's victorious doctrine, the masterfully accomplished, magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior, myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And then seven green tara mantras for Geshe's long, healthy, happy life. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I just want, again, you know, like, thank you from the bottom of my heart as a Tibetan. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, all your support, you know, so from your government and all the people. So, and we always welcome all of you, all the Americans, in our Tibetan community, wherever it is in Tibet or it's inside Nepal, India. So there we are always, you know, welcome all of you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the logistics for the next few events. As we leave the Gampa, if you would please get your shoes as quickly as possible, collect your kids if you want to collect your kids, and when you go outside, go right out in front of the building. You'll follow, Sandy, stand up. You'll be following the direction of our photographer, Sandy. She will tell you where to stand, and so if we follow her directions, that will go as quickly as possible. Then after the photo, there will be a newcomers orientation here in the Gampa. And we also are keeping the center open for approximately an hour so that anyone who would like to stay for the delve into daily Dharma discussion, the questions will be provided for you at the conference table, at the tables in the bookstore. They'll be on little green sheets. And so you just pick those up. That'll help you get started in your discussion. And as Geshe-la said, he'd love to hear back from us what we decide about what is human happiness and the other questions that are on your sheet. Any questions about what's coming up? Great. Thank you. Go.